that can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From Your Hands, Your Feet, Your Side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for honoring us with your presence. We love you and we appreciate you, and we've been praying for you. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for being our Lord, our Savior. Thank you that, as Jeremiah chapter 3 says, we can call you my Father. Lord, we thank you so much for that relationship. Thank you for your kindness. We thank you so much, Lord, that we don't live under the old covenant. Praise God. Thank you for grace, Lord. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit to empower us to be what we could never be otherwise. Thank you that now it's not us, but Christ in us who does the work. And Lord, you've just asked us to believe. Repent and believe. And Lord, we thank you that you even grant us the grace to repent and the faith to believe. Thank you for grace, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for doing this work in us. Thank you for getting us ready for the plagues that are about to pass over this world, Lord, just like in the days in Egypt, Lord, when you preserved your people in Goshen. Thank you, Lord, for your grace to rise up in us, to bring to remembrance everything you've said to us, to defend us against these judgments coming upon the world, Lord. Thank you for our Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ. Thank you. Help us, Lord, to eat all of the lamb so that we have a Passover of the judgments of the curse of this world. Thank you so much, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we've been looking at Psalm 91 because there's a pretty good vaccination there. In other words, God is preparing us to be immune to the judgments of this world by filling us with His promises, renewing our minds with the Word of God, being transformed through the renewing of our mind. Praise be to God. And we've been kind of going slow here through Psalm 91. And every once in a while I back up just a little bit. And so I'm going to start in verse 5 again. It says, "Thou shalt not be afraid." And now down in verse 6, "For the pestilence that walketh in darkness." Thou shalt not be afraid for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Something you can't see, but you know is dangerous. You may see the signs of it around you. And of course, the devil takes full advantage of that by coming against your mind. "And not for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." So something you can't see in the darkness and something that you can see. You know, some of our biggest problem is the things that we see. But we also worry about the things we can't see. You ever notice how that somebody may get sneezy or coughy around you, and the first thing the devil throws at you is, you're going to catch it next, you know. Because, you know, what people die of is not the curse. I think that's one of the last things we were speaking about. People don't die of the curse. Jesus delivered us from the curse, Galatians 3 and 13. Exodus 12, that we have a Passover lamb that we've eaten. And 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that our lamb's been sacrificed, which is Jesus Christ. You know, Psalm 103 and 3, "Who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases." We don't die of diseases, of plagues, of curses. We die of unbelief. We die of fear. The devil takes us out many times with a warfare against our mind. And so we need to learn, like 2 Corinthians tells us, to cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So, you know, we're told the same thing in Luke chapter 21. Let me read this to you. In verse 25, "For there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations in perplexity for the roaring of the sea and for the billows." I mean, actually, you can see the roaring of the sea and the billows representing the anger of the nations against one another. You know, because the Bible tells us that in the book of Revelation, that the waters represent the peoples, tribes, nations, and tongues. And so that's obviously making a lot of people fearful. You know, the things that terrorism are exporting around the world and so on and so forth. And men fainting for fear and for the expectation of things which are coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. I think the King James Version uses men's hearts failing them for fear. But actually the numerics and the Greek fainting is a much better interpretation. Men fainting for fear and for expectation. What is this expectation? You know, it's believing in the curse. Believing that these things are all a threat to you. And thinking about, by your imaginations, the terrible things that could happen to you because of these things. That's why it tells us to cast down imaginations, right? The devil prepares us to fail through our imaginations. Again, people aren't dying because of the curse. The Lord took care of that. They're dying because of unbelief and fear. And in every instance, doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not, if you're put in a place of threat, remember that the devil's army, his angels, they see in the spirit realm and they see in the physical realm too. They coordinate their attacks on you by things that you see with your eyes or you recognize around you or things you hear with your ears. They will pounce on you with this emotion of fear or doubt or whatever, timing it with the things that happen around you so that you're struck suddenly with this temptation to fear. And these imaginations in your mind about the things that could happen, you know, we think in pictures. And the devil will take you over with those pictures. He will put fright, fear in you, just exactly like he's talking about right here. Perplexity, fainting for fear. He will attack you with these things. And if you don't stop and make war on him, he will just take you away. You'll be at the mercy of the judgments that are around you. We've seen from the scriptures very plainly, Galatians 3 and 13, that Jesus bore the whole curse upon himself upon the cross. And that with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We need to profess Psalm 91. We need to confess Psalm 91 in the midst of the trouble. Not while you're in church. In the midst of the trouble. You know, when there's an opportunity for you to give the devil authority in this thing to take you away. The gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. And faith without works is dead. If your actions are totally contrary to faith, the devil takes that as his authority. And Jesus told us, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So the devil is going to make war on the saints with the judgments that are coming upon the world. Did you know that those judgments are coming upon the world not to hurt the saints, but to deliver the saints. These judgments are going to separate the wheat from the tares. Okay? I just thinking about this earlier, I brought this revelation from Dimitri Duneman I want to share with you because it fits exactly what we're talking about here. This vision was given to Dimitri in May of 1993. He was in Oregon. And it describes our rights in Christ and how the blood is applied through casting down fear and doubt and speaking the promise, which is, of course, our sword of the Spirit, right? He said it was getting dark. Then suddenly it turned pitch black. It's interesting. We can look around us right now and we can see it getting dark. So many people are mentioning this to me now that they're seeing things they've never seen before. You know, they're seeing even Christians turn towards darkness, you know, that were lukewarm and governments being taken over by the beast, obviously. Then suddenly it turned pitch black. It was as if the whole world had gone dark at that moment. And I think we're on the verge of that darkness coming, folks. It'll be great tribulation, and we need to be ready for it. We need to not waste our time. We need to be ready, prepared. We need to have our armor on, ready to go. He said all the people were in a frenzy. They became disoriented, and some were even screaming. Sounds exactly like the verse we just read in Luke 21, right? After some time, we heard the sound of an army approaching. Yeah, this is talking about the devil's army that's coming. You know, what is the devil's army? Well, he has multitudes of demon spirits that make war on the saints. And not only that, they inhabit men who also physically, in the physical realm, make war on the saints. We call that the beast, right? And soon we saw them coming out of the black mist. All were dressed in black except for one. That one seemed to be their leader. He was dressed in a red robe with a thick black belt over his waist. On his head, he had a sign. As I looked, I saw that in his hand he held the same kind of sharp spear as everyone else in his army. "I am Lucifer," he exclaimed. "I am the king of this world. I've come to make war against the Christians." This war is about to start, friends. Darkness is covering the earth, and this war is about to start. It looked as though all the Christians were huddled together in one big group. Some began to cry when they heard this. Others began to tremble, while some just stood without saying anything. What is this already happening to these people? It's Satan's warfare against them. They're crying, they're trembling, they're fearful because of the threat that they can see. What is the devil's army? You know, it's those spirits that attack your mind like fear and doubt and grief and condemnation and lust and hatred and unforgiveness and on and on and on and on and on, you know. Rejection and addictions of different kinds and occultic things, you know, and thefts and lying and all these things. These spirits that attack. Everybody has a trial with these spirits making a war against them, seeking to bring them into their realm, you know. We've been delivered of this by Jesus Christ. All these promises that are given to us in the Word of God are what we can use as our sword to set each other free, right? So, when they saw Satan's army coming in great force, many people trembled and were fearful, and some didn't do anything because they weren't moved by it. And Lucifer continued to speak. He said, "All of those that want to fight against my army and think they can be victorious, go to the right." Well, obviously, that's where the sheep go, right on the right. But think about it. Are you convinced of that? Are you convinced that you can be victorious against Satan's army? If you're not, it's because you don't have enough of the Word of God in your mind to really do warfare with him. You know, we need to have that helmet of salvation on. The knowledge of the fact that we are protected, we are delivered, it is finished, Jesus has overcome the world, and the only thing left is for us to enter into those works, like Hebrews 3 says, that were finished from the foundation of the world. We enter into those works through faith. See? Everything that Jesus did, the body of Christ is going to do. He had victory. He knew he could conquer Satan. Satan trembled before him because he knew who he was. He was a son of God. He is the only begotten son of God in whom we too are sons, you see. And Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. If you know who you are and you know what God says about you, the devil trembles before you. But he can convince a lot of people who justify themselves and are not really convinced of the Word of God. So he says, all those that want to fight against my army and think they can be victorious, go to the right. And those that fear me, go to the left. Why does God permit this war? He is permitting this war to separate the sheep from the goats. And, you know, in these end times, the Lord says he's going to spew the lukewarm out of his mouth. He's not going to have any fence riders. You know, when this is over, you're going to be in one camp or the other camp, you see. This is going to bring a separation. This warfare of the devil against the church is going to bring the separation. Okay? Notice what he says. Only about a quarter of the group stepped to the right. One quarter. Three quarters of what were called Christians in this revelation were no threat to the devil. And he was going to conquer them. It says all the others went to the left. That was three quarters of them went to the left. Those that thought they would be victorious over Satan was only a quarter of Christianity. And I don't think that's a stretch at all. I mean, even today, there are very few people that are actually chasing Satan. The rest are all being chased by him, which is exactly what Luke tells us, you know. Then Lucifer ordered his army, destroy those on the right. The army began to advance and quickly surround the Christians on the right, the smaller group, right? A quarter. And as they began to close in on us, a powerful light appeared and encircled us. Then the angel of the Lord spoke, take out your swords and fight. Defend yourselves. Be victorious over the enemy. What swords? A man in the group asked. The word of the Lord is your sword, the angel answered. The word of the Lord. Take out your swords and fight and be victorious over the enemy. The devil can do nothing with your sword. He has no weapon that he can defend against your sword, which is the word of God. It is the true word of God. It cannot be denied. It will fulfill the purpose that God sent it for. But we have to be sure to use it. You can give in to the temptations of fear and doubt that the devil fires at you in the midst of the fiery trial, or you can fight. You can use your sword and fight. If you will fight with faith, if you have confessed up on your sins so that the devil is not able to use condemnation against you, and you'll take out your sword and fight, you will win. You know, 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That fear that comes against you is from the devil. It's not from God. God is not going to move you by fear. The fear of the Lord is good. Because just like anyone should fear their father, every child should fear their father that they might get a spanking if they're going the wrong way. In that way, we should always fear God. But the Lord isn't going to lead you by fear all the time. If you feel that way, you're probably being moved by the devil. And Romans 8 and 15 tells us, you know, that for you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So God's method of leading his children is not fear. When fear comes upon you, you need to make war against it immediately. You need to stop whatever you're doing and not listen to the thoughts. Cast down the pictures that the devil is putting in your mind and make war against that spirit, because he will conquer you. You may have all the knowledge that you need, but you can't even hear it in the midst of this emotion of fear that's come upon you. And so, stop. Make war. You know, the devil can't stand before you. Use your sword. You know, you don't have to necessarily quote the Word of God to conquer the devil, but you have to agree with the Word of God to conquer the devil. You have to speak in agreement with the Word of God. You know what the Word of God says. Maybe you can't quote all that many verses. Maybe you need to spend more time in the Word of God, too. You know, but let me go on with this revelation here, which is so good. When we understood what the angel meant, we began to quote verses from the Bible. Then suddenly, as if we were one voice, we began to sing a song. Well, that's the thing about songs, again. Like, they get you in one accord, don't they? And there's power in agreement. You know, the Bible says, if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father. Well, what does that do with when you have a bunch of you in agreement, right? One will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000, you know. That's a multiplied power, you know. So it's good for us to be in agreement, and that's why God's given us the Word of God. It's the thing that we ought to be in agreement with, you know. It's no good if you're in agreement with a bunch of apostates. You've got no power. The devil's going to show us that in this revelation. He's going to conquer these people. They're going to lose their life. In some cases, spiritual life, too, not just physical life. So, I mean, the devil wants to make war, and he wants to take out the people who are a threat to him. He would like to take out their physical life. He would like to take out their spiritual life because they're doing him damage, right? So he won't make war on you. He's not able to do anything that God doesn't permit him to do. But God permits him to come and try us to build our faith like a muscle. And if your faith isn't tried, it's not going to get stronger. And we go through things to try our faith, but also to exercise, to learn, to remember, to think, to quickly pull out your sword and go to work, you know. So they began to quote verses from the Bible, and they began to sing a song. Our voices thundered so loudly that the dark army began to retreat. Now, this is the people on the right. This is the sheep, right? They did not have the courage to come against us anymore. Lucifer, filled with rage, turned to those on the left, which was three-quarters of the Christians. You, who all of your life have been trying to please two masters, because you could not stand against me, I have the power to destroy you. That is true. He's been given that power to destroy people who are in unbelief. And nothing, never so strong as in the days that we're coming to. Why is all of this coming together in these? Because we have very little time left to learn to walk in the kingdom of God. And Satan's going to be cast down. He knows he has a short time left. He's going to fight furiously, him and his army, and the humans they inhabit. They're going to fight furiously to come against us, but we have a weapon that they can't resist if we will just use it. And it is the promises of the Word of God. It is our sword. They cannot stand up to that. So the people who all of their life tried to serve two masters, self and the Lord, right? They were double-minded. They were lukewarm. There was no protection for these people. That just lets you know, right now, we need to get the armor on, we need to get on fire for God, and we need to learn to fight. He said, I have the power to destroy you. And who gave it to him? Well, they did. the ones who had authority on earth to bind or to loose. And now they have loosed Satan because of their unbelief and their double-mindedness, their lukewarmness. He then ordered his army to attack. It was a total massacre. The ones on the left could not defend themselves. Can you imagine that three-quarters of Christianity could not defend themselves right now? I can. It seems fairly obvious. One by one, they all fell. This killing seemed to go on for a long time. I'm imagining that this killing is not just physical but spiritual, because many of these people are going to lose their eternal life. This killing seemed to go on for a long time, and after a while, we could actually smell the stench of the dead. Why could they not be protected also? Someone asked. The angel answered, because all their lives they have been lukewarm. Because of their hypocrisy, the true church has been blasphemed. That's, of course, the quarter who went to the right, the sheep. They've been blasphemed. They've been accused by the world because of the hypocrisy of the false church. They have brought disrespect to the Word of God. And even today, obviously, you people scoff at the Word of God. Christians scoff at the Word of God. In the midst of the trial, you try to share with them the clear Word, and they have this idol in their mind, this stronghold in their mind. Satan has set up a stronghold in 2 Corinthians 5 in their mind. It's because they're worshiping false gods. They have a false Jesus, as Paul said. You know, that false Jesus can't save you, because he's not the Word of God. The true Jesus is the Word of God. It is our sword. He can save. He will save. He will save all those who respect him. Do you know, all through the Old Testament, God warned us about worshiping idols. Many Christians worship a Jesus that does not exist. Their Jesus is demons. That's who it is. These are idols. They will not save. The devil does not cast out Satan. His kingdom, if it were divided, it would fall, Jesus said. So this is not going to happen. If you are following and worshiping and having faith in a false Jesus, he will not save you. Because Antichrist means not only against Christ, but in the place of Christ. You see? So the devil would like to replace the real Jesus with your false Jesus so that you put trust in him and so that he fails you. This is what's going to happen in the days to come. For according to this, three-quarters of the church, their Jesus is going to fail them. The reason God does not answer when you trust in your false Jesus is because then he would be giving credit to your false Jesus. And other people would trust in this false Jesus too. So God doesn't answer. And then people accuse God. Well, God didn't answer. I believed, but God... No, you didn't. You believed in a false Jesus. And he cannot save, because Satan doesn't cast out Satan. And they have brought disrespect to the Word of God. They were not clean. First of all, you got no authority to swing the sword unless you're clean. Your conscience condemns you. And so the devil conquers those people who are walking in sin and in rebellion and in defilement, even though they intellectually know all about faith and how it works. They can't use it. You can't swing the sword without faith. And if you're unholy, the devil will pick that point to jump on you and condemn you so you can't have faith. As we continued to look, we saw the sun coming over the horizon. I think that's the coming of the Lord, don't you? The black clouds began to break up. Then they disappeared. Only one was left on which Lucifer and his army stood. And Lucifer looked at me, shaking his fist, and said, I will destroy you even if I have to throw my spirit to you from here. Then that cloud disappeared. As I looked around, I began to see faces that I recognized among our group I saw a pastor from Bellflower, another from Indiana, and one from Michigan, as well as many of my American friends. The first thought that came to my mind as I awoke was that this had been the last fight of the devil against the church. If we remain faithful, we will be victorious. Yes, amen. And so get ready. Put on your armor, because this battle is coming at us right now. The last war against the church, Revelation 13 speaks of the beast making war on the saints. The beast just happens to be the fleshly vessels through whom this army from the pit, this beast from the pit, is going to make war on the saints. So get ready. Get prepared, because it's coming. He's already warned us. That was an awesome revelation there from Dimitri Duderman. And again, if you don't walk holy before God, you may be trained that your faith is going to work, but it will fail you. And I think in 1 John 3, let me read that to you. Verse 19. Hereby shall we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our heart before Him. You have to have this assurance in your heart if you're going to do battle with the devil. He knows everything about you. Because if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So with the knowledge that you have, if you're condemned by the knowledge that you have, just think about what God knows. The great thing about it is, if you're walking with the Lord by faith, it's the things that you know about and don't do that He holds against you. It's not the things that you don't know about. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So that's the great thing if you're walking with the Lord. But if you're walking in rebellion against the Lord, your sins aren't covered. I mean, Hebrews 10:26, if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for our sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment which shall devour the adversaries. So if you're walking in willful rebellion, you've got no covering. You've got no assurance in your heart. And the first time you get into trouble and you try to swing your sword, the devil is going to jump right on your head with all of your sins. And you're going to have no faith. So, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. You know, there are people that depend upon you and I. Relatives, friends, people that we've prayed for, children that are our responsibility. No one lives unto themselves nor dies unto themselves, the Scripture says. See, we're responsible for others. The Lord wants to use us to save others. And so, just think about this. This day is coming when God is going to need you as a vessel of honor in the midst of many people to save, to deliver, to bring the gospel, and so on. We need in these days more than ever in history to be sanctified, to walk holy before the Lord, to repent, to cry out to Him so that He come and deliver us of our sins. You know, the Lord's delivered us already. He says to reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. He uses our faith. He uses the word of God in our mouth, our confession, to deliver us from the power of sin. You know, in Colossians 1:13, He already says He already delivered us out of the power of darkness. It already happened at the cross. And we need to confess it. But we won't be able to confess it in the midst of the fiery trial if we're walking in willful disobedience. We won't have any faith to swing our sword, so to speak. And so, you know, back in Psalm 91 in verse 7, He says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And he's talking about the person who is not afraid, who is in the secret place of the Most High because of their faith, who is confessing that, as Psalm 91 speaks about. This is the people he's talking about. When he says 1,000 shall fall at thy side, do you suppose some of those are Christians? I guarantee you. I don't hang out with a lot of people that aren't. He says 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Yeah, some of these people, are, at least some of these people, are Christians. And we use the term loosely. And it's sad. And the Lord cries when this happens. And we do too. But many people are not prepared for what's about to come. And your witness to them can, obviously God can use. And share the real, true gospel with so many Christians that don't know the true gospel. You know, many people have rejected the full gospel. They are not prepared to swing their sword at all. I mean, someone had to ask in that revelation, well, what's our sword? You ought to know what your sword is before you go to battle. And know how to swing it and be used to doing it. The righteous shall live from faith, the Bible says. We don't have any choice, folks. The devil's not going to ask us if we want to make war with him. He's going to start making war with us. We will have to be bold, be strong in the faith, be repented up, confessed up of our sins, and ready to swing the sword. And this is very true about those people who are abiding in the secret place of the Most High, which is Jesus Christ. I've heard people say, usually from among the non-spirit-filled groups, which is going to be the major part of that three quarters that is going to be whooped by Satan in the end times. I've heard them say that Psalm 91 is for the millennium or something silly like that, you know, like it's not true now, you know, for you. Well, if you believe that, you've got no sword. If you believe in that foolishness, you've got no sword. If you don't believe in the full gospel, the power of the Spirit of God and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the promises of the Word of God, for healing, for deliverance, for all these things. Obviously, he's talking about escaping the pestilence, the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Do you know enough of the Word of God to know it's your right to escape these things? If you don't, you're not going to escape. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. Seeing their faith, he saith unto the sick of the palsy. You know, see, Jesus saw the faith. He had the authority to administer the blessing when he saw the faith. And the faith he saw was in action. It wasn't just words. It wasn't just theology in somebody's head. You know, he saw the actions. And so, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Get prepared, saints. The war is coming. It's not going to wait on you. It's not going to wait on me. It's coming. It's coming on time. You know? And if you like Joshua and Caleb, don't believe the bad report, but will speak what the Word of God is, like they did, you'll be those people who are not worried about the giants. You'll be those people who will make it through the wilderness. You'll be those people who enter into the promised land in your body. That's what they did. The rest did not. They died out there in that wilderness because of their murmuring, their complaining, and their unbelief. They were constantly being tried by the devil. They constantly heard horror stories in their head about what would happen to them because they couldn't see any supply around them and couldn't see any water and couldn't see. The devil was constantly making war in their mind, and he was beating them up bad. And we're going to the same place. The Lord calls it the wilderness. It's also called the tribulation. And there, war is going to be made on the saints, and a separation. Separation of the hot from the lukewarm and the cold, and the sheep from the goats, and the wheat from the tares, and Separation is going to be made. But 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Wow. What is the difference here? Yeah, well, let me point out to you something in Hebrews chapter 3. Actually, chapter 4. Verse 1, it says, "Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it." Wow, that's interesting. The Lord would tell us that this is something we can fear, that we're not appropriating all of the promises of God, all of the Word of God, because God created this to be your defense, right? That any one of you should seem to have come short of it. "For indeed, we have had good tidings preached unto us." Boy, awesome tidings. I mean, there's a promise for every problem. I should say promises for every problem. There are catch-all promises, you know, like Mark 11:24. It covers everything. Everything, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them, right? And so there are catch-all promises. If you can't remember one that fits your particular problem, that's why Jesus gave those promises. And he says, "For indeed we've had good tidings, good news preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard." It does you no good to go to Sunday school. It does you no good to read your Bible unless you're going to exercise faith in what you're reading. It doesn't matter if your church is going there or not. You need to not leave out one promise as your promise, making it personal for you. You need to not leave out one promise. That's a sword left on the side. That's sitting on your sword, right? And verse 3, "For we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he has said, I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, though the works were finished from the foundation of the world." The works of God have already been finished. Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God, as soon as God spoke it, it was so. He spoke the end, the Bible says, from the beginning. The whole plan. He ordained a Savior before Adam ever fell. The whole plan was spoken into existence. Nothing could stop it. It was just so, because God said it. And everything that we see now that's coming to pass is coming to pass because God said it. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. Whose works do you want to enter into? You can enter into God's works through faith in His promises. You can be a vessel of honor. You can be a vessel that is that one quarter that conquers Satan, that knows they can conquer Satan. Or you can be the three quarters who are lukewarm and have their idol of religion and have no sword at all. They don't believe in the full gospel, which you're going to need where you're going. They don't believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of the gifts. So they're not empowered to walk where they need to go. You know, this rest was a rest from their enemies. Enter into the rest. Well, why would we rest from our enemies? Because they're dead. That's why. Jesus gave us total victory over them. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me." That doesn't leave any for the devil, folks. And then he turned to his disciples and he delegated that authority to them. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loose in heaven. If any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father in heaven. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Jesus had authority, and he spoke it, and the devils trembled. And that same Jesus lives in you. that same Jesus, to the extent that you humble yourself to the Word of God and you believe the Word, and you're becoming the Word made flesh, to that extent, that Jesus lives in you. All you got to do is cooperate with Him. And we're told, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You want that Jesus to live in you, to conquer your enemies, to speak out of you, to swing the sword, and to do the works? Then you got to come into agreement with Him. When you read the Word of God, repent. That's what the Word of God is for, is to cause us to repent. What it says is so. First, we have to agree with it so that we don't restrain it from coming out of us. You know, when you read some things and you think that it's strange, who's really strange? You are. If you're uncomfortable saying anything that's in the Word of God, if you're uncomfortable repeating it, this is how you know you've been taken captive by false religion and false doctrine, is because some of the Word of God is not comfortable in your mouth. You wouldn't naturally even let it flow out of you. How can two walk together except they be agreed? So, when you think that's strange, you're strange. Now, God warned His people about bringing forth strange children that don't look like their father. So if we think it's strange, the problem is with us. It's not with God. You know, being a Christian is very unlike the world. It's very contrary to the world. They're total opposites. If you want to please the world, you can't be a Christian. If you don't want to be sanctified from the ways of the world, you can't be a Christian. You can call yourself a Christian, but you can't be one, because Christian means Christ-like. We have to be willing to lose our life in order to gain our life. We have to be willing to be odd, peculiar. He calls His people peculiar people, strange to the world, because they're totally the opposite. You know, there's only two bodies in this earth. Jesus said there are two men in the earth. There's just two men in the earth. Christ and Antichrist. There's not going to be anything in the middle. He calls that lukewarm. So we have to make up our mind. Are we going to lose our life in order to gain our life? You know, the outer man's decaying, the inner man's being renewed day by day. As you lose ground to self, you gain ground to the spiritual man, who is Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus is not going to have any problem with this warfare that's coming. And if Jesus lives in you, He's not going to have any problem conquering this, you see. But how can two walk together except they be agreed, Amos said, right? So we have to come into agreement. We have to read this word. We have to repent. We have to change your mind. That's what repent means, change your mind. When you read this word, okay, I don't care what my church says. I see what this says. I agree with this. And when you come into agreement with it, it becomes comfortable. You can say it. Other people might think you're weird. But that's okay. They're supposed to. That's part of it, you see. But when it's comfortable for you to believe and to speak all of the Word of God, there's so many people, so many of God's people, they can't speak parts of the Word. They read it, they read right over it. It makes them uncomfortable. They jump over that. Well, they jump on down to something else, you know. They're uncomfortable about it. That just lets you know you've been taken captive. You know, repent. When you read the Word of God, read all of it, believe it, meditate on it. As the Lord told me many years ago, don't eat like a hog. Eat like a cow. You know, a cow is a ruminant, right? Chews it, brings it back up, chews it again, brings it back up, chews it again. You know, a hog, it just goes in one end and out the other one, you know. Doesn't even get digested. You know, this has to be a part of us. This word has to be a part of us. You know, we meditate on it. We think on it. We want to be disciples of Jesus. We want to learn to walk in His steps, right? When that word just comes flowing out of you like a river of living water. Look out, devil. There isn't anything he can do with that, you know. That's what Jesus said. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, right? And he said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believed on him were to receive. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When your words agree with his words, your words are his spirit. See, the Lord recreates in us his spirit by his words. And we're able to recreate Jesus by speaking his words, because we're supposed to sow the same seed that he sowed, that his disciples sowed, that those apostles sowed. We're supposed to sow that seed, the Word of God. Never depart from the Word of God. When God's people learn that, religion crumbles. Religion's going to crumble anyway, because it's got no defense against what's coming. Throughout history, religion has crumbled before the advances of the devil. There's no defense but the Word of God. No sword, no helmet, no shield but the Word of God. And so, this is an awesome, use Psalm 91 like a sword. You know, it's a defense. Claim it. Claim Psalm 91, you know. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. It's saved many lives. Many lives. This is for today. This is a part of the blessings of God. You know, I'll just read you something real quick, like Luke chapter 10 before I run out of time here. Luke 10, 17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. Wouldn't that be great if everybody learned that lesson, right? Even the demons are subject to us in thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Well, he was talking about exactly what they were doing, is casting him down. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Some people think Jesus used that word all a little loosely. I mean, honestly, they do. No, he means exactly what he says, and we've got to learn that. Over all the power of the enemy. You have authority over all the power of the enemy. Authority is the right to use power or restrain power. Authority. I'd rather have authority. In fact, you can even have authority to use the devil's power. The Apostle Paul did that several times. Turned people over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that the spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord. He used the devil's power. The devil couldn't resist him. He had to do what he told him to, you know. And it's the same today. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me, Jesus said. Go ye therefore. You know, so he delegated that authority to them to go and to use his power. You have the authority to use God's power. That's what the word is all about. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Somebody whose mind is not renewed, they're not trustworthy. They can't use power. They do foolish things. They would do foolish things. So, when we repent and we accept the Word of God as our word, our thought, our belief, we're in agreement with Jesus, then two can walk together, then Jesus is doing the works through you. You're yoked up to Jesus. Take my yoke, he said. That's a zugos. That's to yoke two things together, you and him, you see. Okay. And so he says, to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nothing shall. Do you believe that? Practice imagining that you believe that. Think about it. Imagine, what would you think if you really believed that nothing shall in any wise hurt you? Oh, praise God. Well, that's your homework, okay? God bless you, saints. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll do this again.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go
go to unleavenedbreadministries.org. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-16-16, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, my Lord Jesus.